to everyone as well. But for those listening, I had a few things I want to let everyone know before I kind of get into the main part of the show and to bring in a guest. I wanted to thank everyone again for supporting the show and everything else. That obviously, you'll notice that there's been a bit of a gap between shows. Unfortunately, I've had some tough going lately with my father recently passed away on April 11th. So things have been a bit hard in my house and with my family and stuff. So it's been a bit hard to concentrate and kind of, you know, the will to kind of do a show and to get things on. It's just been a bit hard to kind of do it. So I needed a bit of time to kind of heal. And we had my dad's wake on the weekend. So I kind of have that bit more closure now. And it's, you know, it's kind of time to move on. Never forget, of course, but time to move on and keep going. There's always so much to go over as well. So that's kind of what's happening in my end, listeners. Some of you already know this. You're a bit closer to myself and us here at the show. But for those, everyone else listening, yeah, that's kind of why we've had a bit of a break. Anyway, all right, so tonight I've got Andy with me. Andy, how you going, mate? Thanks for sparing some time to have a chat this evening.
I'm good, brother. Yeah, everything's fine.
Thanks for coming. Yeah. Thanks for coming on Saturday too, mate. It was good to see you and appreciate you coming to the wake.
Least we can do, man. Yeah,
it's good.
Support you and Danielle. Absolutely. Thanks, mate.
Cheers. And tonight we have a special guest as well, all the way from Sydney. Hopefully he's not getting smashed too much with rain down there. We had a few issues before. So this is the second attempt we've had at at starting the show. But we're going to keep rolling forward and we'll keep cracking along. Hope maybe the mold has gotten to his computer. Who knows? But Adam Crabb, Mr. Kraz from the Kraz Files podcast and thekrazfiles.com is here with us to have a chat this evening. How you going, man?
Okay, buddy. Okay. I'm finally here. I've got the headset out and the phone going, but we did it. We did. We're plugged in and we're ready to rock and roll.
Shit happens, eh? It always, it just seems like there's ghosts in the machine, but I think maybe it's just mold in the machine this time.
Yeah, strange. I run a pretty tight ship, you know. I use pretty new stuff, so, you know, that was very strange, but that's okay. The phone will get you through.
Yeah.
And it's fairly charged too, so we should be okay.
Yeah.
As long as we do everything we can to connect, that's okay. We keep going. We keep moving forward. Sorry to hear about your dad and that. That's happened to a few of my friends as well. And I hope you and your family unit are, you know, are doing well, and that'll turned out okay, the wake and everything.
It was, yeah, it was good.
It was really crazy last year, wasn't it, just in Queensland alone? They weren't letting people go to funerals. I have some friends down here in Sydney mm-hmm. who had to go mm-hmm. to a funeral in Brisbane or around that area, and it was just a nightmare for the whole family. They would only let one person go, and they couldn't even see them and all of this, but at least now it's a bit, things have loosened up a little bit, so it's good that you I hope you got some closure, and it was it was a good day all around for you guys, and everything's moving forward okay anyway.
Yeah, it was good. It was a nice day, nice gathering, and we did a little photo slideshow and stuff of my dad and his day back in the day, family man, all that sort of stuff. So it was really nice, and it was good to kind of have that so everyone can kind of see what kind of dad he was and reflect and have a few memories and things. It was good. But you're right about the troubles. I mean, even Andy can chime in, because Andy has had to kind of facilitate this with his, one of his side businesses. They've actually been broadcasting funerals with one of his businesses so people could attend the funeral online, because they weren't, you're right, they weren't letting people even go to funerals here, like limited numbers and all that sort of shit. So, I mean, Andy, what was it like doing that, mate, just quickly?
Well, it was good. Our business was actually doing video promotions like before COVID. Like we were going really, really great. Like, you know, doing short videos for business videos, online stuff, you know, for Facebook and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And once the whole COVID thing hit, everyone just like froze, and our whole business went from hero to zero, like in the same week. And it was, you know, we were like, what the hell, what are we doing? Like, what can we do now? And we have, there's a funeral home just like 100 metres from our front door, and I was talking to the girl there, and she's, you know, talking about live streaming and everything. And yeah, we started doing them, and you know, and it just it very, very quickly went on from there. So yeah, we kicked off with live streaming during this COVID time, like for funerals, and so yeah, that's how we got into it.
I mean, I can personally attest to some of the difficulties, especially dealing with the hospitals. Like, it was kind of good in a way because I didn't have to deal with it too much throughout this whole scandemic. But then towards the end, when we got the news about Dad, and I had to, it was like, well, Mum was like, yeah, I go up and see him. They're letting me in. My brother has had the jab, unfortunately, so he was going in willy nilly. But Mum, of course, hasn't, and I haven't, and the mum's like, well, I don't know how you're going to get in because they won't let you see people in hospital because if you have another jab, you know. And then they moved him to a palliative care unit, which kind of made it a little bit easy because we kind of walked up to the door. And they basically got a security guard to the side and, like, a nurse manning the door. Like, they actually pay a nurse to man the door all day long in these hospitals. What a waste of a job. But anyway, so we'd go in and Mum would just say, my husband's in this particular ward. He's dying. No, neither of us are vaxxed. We don't wear masks. We're going in. And we would just, she was awesome. My mum's great. So we would just march in, you know, and they were like, oh okay. You know, they didn't want to fucking mess with it, you know. So it was kind of good to do that, to have her with me to do that together. They kind of felt a bit outnumbered and outgunned. Because it's tough, yeah. Like other times, we had to get Dad down from his room and outside in the courtyard area, so we could just talk to him with the wife and kids and stuff, you know. So it was just bizarre. It was not ideal circumstances to begin with, but then they throw that shit at you, so you know roll with the punches in a way. But just not what you want to deal with, Adam. It was pretty crazy, mate.
Yeah, it's such a stressful time.
It is.
You know, I as I said, I know some families who. Imagine that they couldn't even. Actually, I know a family that we see here and there, but yeah, this was the same one, and their uncle. I think she said her uncle was sick like that, similar, and he was close to passing away in hospital up there as well, and they just couldn't even get in there. It was just terrible for them.
Mm.
And they're Italian as well, so you know how big those families are. And it was,
oh yeah.
And then they had to do a Zoom funeral, you know, and it was just, wow. It just broke the whole family. They had to do it from here. Some had to go up, but only one was allowed in. And the lady that went in had to go under a police escort. They couldn't see the body ever. They couldn't see him before he passed. It's just so dehumanizing and disgusting. And that's a whole part of this system that we have witnessed, unfortunately. Mm. You know, and it really is a sick system. But in your regards, General, it's at least they have backed off at this moment, in 22, and you got to at least have something peaceful and have the family there, you know, and go in.
Yeah.
Good on your mum as well. That's what people need to do. People need to really get their backs up against the wall here and then push back in these people's throats a lot more and stop taking this nonsense. And so it's good to hear your mum, you know, did that. And well, why wouldn't you for people that you love? You know, it's insane.
Yeah, exactly.
Just pushing people around. It's absolutely crazy. So that's good to hear. I hope he didn't. He didn't die in pain or anything. I hope he had a peaceful passing, and that's always what you want anyway.
Yeah, we were told he did. We just sort of, I think he was had a bit of pain medication earlier or later in the evening, and then, yeah, they said he passed away around 6 a.m. They didn't hear a thing from him. He just died in his sleep. So it's really the best thing you can ask for, you know, no pain and just died in your sleep, not screaming out for pain or loved ones, just slipping away, you know, it's probably the best way to go. So kind of thankful for that. But, yeah, I didn't want to go too much about all that sort of stuff. I just want to kind of give people an update on the situation. So this particular show, gentlemen, I wanted to kind of focus on fear is the main topic, and in particular the addiction to fear that we've been seeing, as we were sort of saying in our first attempt, I listen, of course, to your show religiously, mate. Can't wait for every single episode to come out, and it's always good. So I always encourage everyone to jump on over to thecrazfiles.com and join up as a member there. Go and throw $5 at Adam and buy him a cup of coffee, and you won't regret it. I'll put a link in the show notes as well, so to make sure everyone jumps over and checks you out, mate.
Thanks, mate. Thanks.
But one of your member content shows you put out just recently, you were really talking about this fear situation and the constant addiction to fear that you're noticing with, you know, these NPCs out there, the public at large, this want, this need for fear that people seem to have. Like, they feed off it. They seem to almost enjoy it, like it's now a part of their life, and they can't go a day without it. Like, I imagine a day that there was no fear headlines in the news, and people wouldn't know what to do. They would probably not even leave their home because they thought there was something so majorly wrong that they couldn't even talk about it in the media. You know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't even, it wouldn't sink into them to just go and live a normal life. They need this fear. It's just addiction they have. It's crazy. You did a really good show on that. I wanted to kind of elaborate on that and just go a little bit deeper into some things and what we've been seeing and this constant control through fear that we've been seeing. Like, people want to be controlled by this thing. And it reminded me of an article I put up at realnewsaustralia.com back in 2020, March 26, 2020. So over 2 years ago, and 2 years and 1 month almost to the day. And this article I put up there, it was actually shared via Facebook from someone else, but I thought it was so very well written, and I just had to put it up. So I let the lady know. I said, I'm going to put this up on my site, and she was all for it. And I called it The Price of Fear. And I'll just go through it again. It's not too long, but I'll go through it quickly because I wanted to kind of touch on a few things. And you'll notice some of the things when I read it out. You'll be like, yes, I remember seeing this. We're still seeing this now, and it all makes sense. So it says, it has been at the forefront of every person's mind. It's everywhere. You can't escape it. It's there from the moment they wake up. The daily onslaught of updated information and restrictions on this ever-developing situation. I've seen family tearing one another to shreds, suspicion, mistrust, accusations, and ugliness. People panic buying, leaving nothing for anyone else, an every man for himself mentality. Distrust, social distancing, everyone is viewed with an eye of suspicion as a possible source of contagion. Never have I witnessed such division, fear, hysteria, or panic. As a result, we have woken up to a new world, a new world order, perhaps. 2 million people are out of work in Australia. Some families can no longer afford to put a roof over their children's heads. Who knows how they're going to be able to feed them? People screamed for the government to lock us down, lock us in, close borders, keep me safe. Our children are the new fleas of the new plague. Keep them away from us. Protect me. But those people failed to see the scope of what would entail. We went from a virus with a 2 to 3% overall mortality rate to a new global economic pandemic. People will be bankrupted by this. Businesses that once thrived will never come back. Instead of using hindsight and foresight, we have succumbed to a hive mentality. Where our ancestors once fought for freedom, we gladly gave it away. Take it. We don't want it. Do whatever you want. Here is my freedom. Here is my family. Here is my home. Here is my financial stability. Here is my medical freedom. Take it all, government. I'm sure you have our best interests at heart. I'm sure you're only thinking about us as you close the borders and bankrupt entire industries that this nation relies upon. How did this happen? How did we become so complacent and compromised in our ability to think rationally and logically? You still think this is about a virus and protecting the most vulnerable? Wake up, people. This is about control. Oh, I'm not into conspiracy theories. Really? The real conspiracy theory is the one happening on your TVs, with the media driving fear and hysteria, a narrative that has made one thing very clear and apparent. They own you. You bought it, hook, line, and sinker. Fear is a great motivator, but a terrible master. And that's the article. And, you know, I couldn't help but going back to read that and how much it rings true now, gentlemen. And this was only a couple of months into this, 4 months into this so-called scamdemic, and this person, this lady, was already saying there and then, you still think this is about a virus? It's about control. You know, this is after 4 months, this lady was calling this, and I couldn't have agreed more. I was like, you hit the nail on the head. It's always about control. And that kind of leads us into this discussion about this this constant addiction. People, they seem to want to be controlled, gentlemen. They want this fear. We see it constantly in news headlines, and I'll go over one or two headlines a little bit later on just to kind of reiterate that point. But Adam, I mean, when you hear that kind of thing from 2 years ago after it just started, what is it? What does that kind of ring true to you now? I mean, does it sort of, is it kind of like a wake-up call once again to where we were back then?
It is, isn't it? It is. Great article. Fear is a great motivator, but a terrible master. Yeah. Mm. It's. Thanks so much for enjoying the show I did as well, Lee, because I don't know how that kind of information is going to relay on to others. You know, those podcasts allow me to go deeper and to get personal stuff out and have those chats. So sometimes I think, well, how's that going to go? But it's great that you can pick that up because, you know, that's just something that I do see. It almost is like people need the fear, you know?
It does. And it makes me question things. I'm like, am I the only one seeing this? And when you said it, I'm like, oh, thank fuck, someone else is seeing this too.
Yeah, that's why that's great to do podcasts, you know? Yeah. Adam's not a bloody maniac, you know, but it's, yeah, it is weird. But, yeah, it's scary at the same time. Well, that's fear, isn't it? But it is like the layers of an onion, isn't it? It just, it must be in there so deep, yeah. And fear rules and fear sells. Fear controls, ultimately it does. When you're in a fear state, you cannot thrive. You cannot live peacefully. You cannot, you know, go forward in any kind of way, and especially spiritual. You know, you cannot do anything. You are stuck. You are a drowning man. You are stuck in the quicksand. When you're in a fear state, you are under control, and that's why they always use it, and they've always done it. Look at the wars. Look at 9/11. Look at the shootings, the staged shootings. They've got shootings now in America and subways. They've got wars in Russia. Now they're telling us in Australia to prepare for war. You know, they've got the virus and the variants and everything and the TV. And it's all in that article. And that's what it is. And it requires a strong effort from every one of us and everyone out there to stand up and look in the mirror and face that fear, because the fear is in you. And it builds up. And, you know, I never realized going through just looking at how bad and powerful just simple content is, like movies. You know, you sit down and you allow yourself to watch these modern movies with so much violence and horror in them, and or your kids are exposed to that, it creates fear. It's planting seeds of fear deep within you, and it gets in there, you know. And this is how they do it, and the media is fear. That's how they do it. We've always talked about it, you know. They hypnotize people into the experience, into the show through the Anchorman, and you get sucked into this mind game, you know, and it's just amazing. They hammer blow you with all these levels of fear, and then they have sports and all this stuff. It's like up and down, in and out, you know. Managing the population, but never, I don't think, I mean, I can't think of a time in my life that we've ever seen so much fear. And what sparked me was a comment from someone on the Telegram page. They just said very simply that it's almost like the next wave, you know, that we were supposed to see this year is a fear wave. And I thought about it and I thought, well, it is, isn't it? You know, they've kind of rolled the restrictions back. You know, they're bringing back the fishing line. They're reeling it in, you know. And I was talking about this on the show the other night, that everybody around me, and I'm not judging anybody, I'm like a fly on the wall, and I just like to have personal observations so I can do my work and watch things. But I look at everyone around here and they've all had some kind of memory wipe. It's so weird. It's almost like nothing ever happened. I'm like, I'm on edge a bit, you know. I'm sort of thinking that was very bad. That was not good what happened to us last year, all these lockdowns and stuff. And I try to just keep my eyes on this and I try to study it, and I don't let my guard down. But everyone, because the restrictions have been taken out here, they're all back to the movies and the malls and the coffee shops and back having drinks and having fun. And I guess that's okay. I'm not down on anyone. I'm just saying, you know, it's weird times, you know, after so much fear. And that's what made me think about that, you know. And we're already seeing so much fear this year, you know, just with the Putin and the Europe you know, and Ukraine psyop and all this stuff. And this, they're rolling back the restrictions of the fake viruses and the fake variants, but they're, it still bubbles up there. They're still telling you there's more, and they're keeping it just, you know, just lightly going there underneath, you know, so it's still there.
Well, they got what they wanted, you know? Didn't they? They got the ability to do that whenever they want from now on.
Or they're running with it now.
They put the laws in place, you know, they gave themselves the votes to do it and all that sort of shit, and now they can, whenever they want to do a pandemic or whenever they want to declare an emergency situation and, you know, place that big blanket of control via the fear campaign over the top of everyone, they can just flick the switch and do it.
That's so easily because the fear has already been in, it's in there. It's done. I mean, look what they did. They scared the hell out of everybody. Mm-hmm. Look what the police did in this country. Look at Melbourne. It was a fear campaign. And look at Operation COVID Shield. They brought the military in. I've talked about this a lot. General Fruin. Well, they bring a full brass military general in. We all thought they were going to come and bust down our doors. No, it was a weaponized propaganda campaign, and this is via military mindset. And so that's what they did. They went to war against our minds, and it was all using fear and propaganda to do so, and just scare the hell out of everyone to get needles in arms. That's what it was all about. So it's almost like, you know, as you said, they can just keep the fire going now. They can take it back. They can bring it back. They can do whatever they want now. And it's just up to people out there to, you know, to really see the game for what it is and really, really wake up. And, you know, face yourself, as I said, in the mirror and look at what's really going on. Look at the bigger picture and start to work on yourself to start stripping away, you know, those levels of fear, those shackles of fear, because they're there in all, they're in you, Lee, they're in me, they're in Andy. We have it since we were little, and it's a powerful thing, and we don't know it's there. And the TV has really been the main perpetrator of this right from when we were little watching TV. That's how they do it. So I think the most powerful tool for us is awareness, and I always say that. You don't need money or anything. You just need to be aware. And when you're self-aware and you start to become aware of the system around you and what it's really trying to do, it's a really good thing, and it takes a lot of weight off your shoulders. And when you can start having conversations like this and joining up with our communities and having people in your family that are on your same side, you can have these conversations. It's a good thing. And that goes a long way to start, you know, unbuckling these shackles of fear as well. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's something that we have to really work on, all of us, to start breaking down this. And we can see as we're doing it, as we understand this ourselves and we start breaking away from these shackles of fear, the media and the government and this whole control grid, it becomes in itself more desperate to maintain control and order. So what does it do? It pumps out more fear. To bog us down. And that is a good thing, because then we know that it's desperate. And we know that we are making a change here. So we keep doing what we're doing. And we do not buy into that fear.
Yeah. It's a big signal when they do that. Yeah, you kind of know you're winning when they have to double down and push harder, you know, because it's not working.
And they've got no new strategies, Lee. They're just going over the same old bullshit, you know.
They rehash it all the time.
Yeah, come up with something new, you know, but they don't, because, you know, fear is very limited, you know. Love is different. Love will set you free. It's got wings, but fear is very limited and, you know, and so they try to control through it. And after a while, you just go, this is pathetic. And see, that's what makes them very, very pissed off, you know. And so, you know, we can't be upset, or they want us to be fearful of this, because then it creates fear, you know. It's like someone yawning, and it catches on, you know. It's unbelievable. So we just have to see through it and work it out. And as you get better at it, you turn on the news and you laugh. But unfortunately, you might go to your family's house or see some friends, and they're in there watching the news with drool coming out the side of their faces, you know, and they're just – they're watching the news, and they're like zombies. And this is where we have to get our information out and just keep the conversation rolling.
And I wanted to touch on that shortly as well. I won't get into it right now, but I wanted to talk about shortly the methods of escaping fear. And that's a good point what you just brought up, but we'll come back to that in a minute. I wanted to just quickly throw to Andy, first of all, before we move on. Andy, I've read that out once before we lost Adam, but for a second time now, I've...
good line there, General, as well, the methods of escaping fear.
Yeah, and we'll go over some as well because that's very important. It's going to help us. But Andy, in that piece I read out before, I mean, when you think that that was over two years ago now, and it was just after it all began and people were calling this what they saw right then, that it was all about control. And we've been on about that. We've been banging that drum for so long. There is no virus. There is no nothing to worry about. There is nothing to be fearful of. Stop being so fearful, everyone, you know. It's not real. Wake up. It's control. It's all about control. Mm-hmm. But what is there anything in that particular piece that kind of rings true, or any comments you want to make on that thing that I read out just before?
I agree with both you boys and everything that you're saying, and Adam's stolen all my thunder. Everything that he's saying, I absolutely agree. And it's such a low level vibration, like fear, mm-hmm. and the enemy of the people have been using that as a weapon. You know, yeah, like we've absolutely. Said a lot in the shows too. Like I truly believe we are in a world war. World War III has begun. It began a couple of years ago,
yeah.
And the fear based vibration that has been launched at us from the enemy. It has been the number one tool, been the number one weapon pointed at us and used at us for solidly for a couple of years.
A war for our minds, isn't it?
Absolutely, 100%.
That's what World War III is. Yeah,
absolutely, 100%. To capture our minds and to capture our minds, body, and soul without a bullet being fired. You know, it's a very, very new. But like, yeah, look, just in respect to your article, it's the same war, it's the same weapon, and it's been going on solidly for a couple of years. And you know, you picked it back then, and the same rings true today. So, if people can't see it in a solid 2 years, look, I really don't know, like, whether there's too much hope for them. Or why it's so slow, but maybe there's other weaponry that's used to keep them in a dumbed down state. So,
there's more to it, mate, for sure. Otherwise, surely even the most mainstream people have had a chance to see some of the alternative views on things. You know, whether they agree with them or not, I do think that it's still out there. It's in the zeitgeist. People can't avoid it. You know what I mean? Like some of their friends and people that they might know might be talking about it at work or chat to them about it or share something with them. You know, like there's always maybe quite possibly 6 degrees of separation happening, but I think we are getting through to some people. But I wanted to let's get into what I mentioned just before now. And Andy, I'll get you to speak of one of the methods as well, because you did mention it on one of our other shows with regards to the letting it go. You don't own it, you let it go. So I'll get you to kind of reiterate what that is again for some people in terms of a method of escaping fear and to fight this sort of fear campaign that they've got against us. The one that I wanted to sort of bring up, and Adam kind of already brought up as well, is you face your fear. You have to face it. But my spin on that is not only to face that fear, but to disarm it by you laugh at it. It's laughable. This is like almost like a bad black comedy show we're watching right now. It's so laughable when you really look at how bad they're trying to push this fear narrative on us and the headlines they use and the language of fear they're using and all these different methods they're using to hype up this fear. It literally, if you don't laugh at it, you'll almost be sucked into it. So that's what my wife and I do. When we even hear these headlines on the radio, we see them on the TV and on our phones when they pop up in social media feeds and stuff. We literally laugh out, and it's not even really a conscious thing. It's almost unconscious now that we do it. We look at it and we'll sort of show each other our phone and we look at this one. Have a look at this headline, and we look at it and we laugh at each other. We're like, this is so ridiculous, and we laugh in the face of this fear that they're trying to use, and it disarms it. It takes the power away from it. And I think that's one of the key things that you can do to fight it as well. Don't get sucked up in it. Not only not get sucked up in it, but laugh at it. Laugh in the face of this ridiculous attempt at trying to make you scared. You know, they use, what is it? they say it's either flight or fight, you know what I mean? But I don't think that's the that's all there is. There's also, it's flight, fight, and fright. They try and scare people, you know? But the reaction people have is they stand there frightened to death. They're frozen with fear, you know what I mean? They either run away, they fight it, or they're frozen in fear. And a lot of people seem to be just sitting there frozen in fear. I think people need to learn to laugh at this ridiculous black comedy we're living in right now called COVID-19. You know, it's just, it's so laughable. It actually makes me, it literally makes me laugh out loud, folks, if we were listening. I look at these headlines and I just can't, it is actually humorous to me. You know, we do sit there and chuckle to ourselves, me and Danielle, and we do that as well. And Adam, this is where I wanted to kind of get you to chime in, because you just sort of touched on it briefly as well. When you're saying, you know, you might be around at a family or friend's house and they're sitting there watching the TV with the mouths agape, thinking, oh my, holding each other's hands going, oh no, like this is the next big thing, the new variant's out, or that, you know, you can catch multiple variants at the same time, and whatever the newest fucking fear headline is, they sit there, mouths agape, drooling, like you said, you know, just sucking it up and stuff. Well, if I was there watching them with that, I would literally be laughing out loud, pointing at it going, you know, the emperor's wearing no clothes, you know what I mean? Like, that's that kind of old fable. You need to sit there and be that child that just laughs at it and points it out and just laughs their head off and go, look how ridiculous this is. So they can look at you and be like, wow, it kind of shakes them loose, you know, like, oh, wow, they're laughing. Because we do it in front of our kids, guys. We laugh at these news headlines. And stuff. So whenever they're exposed to it, if they're not around it, or not around us at the time, and they might hear it or see it, they might start to do the same thing. They'll learn from us to laugh at this ridiculous attempt at trying to control them. That's why I wanted to try and bring you into it, Adam. That's what I would suggest anyway, is perhaps starting to teach people, or even do it in front of these family members and friends you have. Just laugh at these ridiculous headlines and things when it's on TV.
That's right. A couple of silly points is, like, you know, when you have kids around and they, and you know, when your kid's little and they fall over, and they fall over and it's kind of loud, it seems bad, but it's not too bad, and they look at you for your reaction.
That's right. That's and it's right.
Like, yeah, my dad always used to go, look what you've done to the floor.
Yeah,
you've ruined my floor, you know, or you make a joke out of it. And then, I do that all the time, and they're just back on their leg and they're running around again. They're happy.
That's it.
But when the parents sit,
They'll panic. They start crying.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the articles we were reading through on some of the shows, that parents are now wearing masks, and when their babies can't read their expressions. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that. It's in, and so that early part of the baby's development with mum's smile and facial expressions is being erased. It's like taking a rubber and erasing it.
Yeah,
and there's nothing there anymore, so they don't learn. And so what do you have here? It's dehumanizing. This is where we're going. We're going to a transhuman type future where they're going to basically erase us. And so that's the whole deal, folks, you know, and that's what's going on. And and looking at, like, sort of fear before, and something you were saying, and this is changing the subject a lot, I know, but it's kind of like applying the laws of learning to swim, sort of swimming survival, because when you're caught in a rip, they always say, or a fire, you know, it's like, don't panic. If you're caught out and you can't touch the sand and you're caught in a rip, what do? If you panic, you're going to go under.
Mm-hmm.
You swim sideways. You don't fight the rip. It's going to take you out to sea. You swim sideways and you relax. When you're teaching kids to swim, you relax. You relax your body. You're not like a stone, or you sink to the bottom. It's that kind of thing. And it's, this is the limbo state that most people are in. Unfortunately, they don't know that they're in it. And so, you know, it is an incredible thing, as you mentioned there.
Mm.
And I have covered this since for so long. Just the power of the mainstream media through the nightly news, for example, and people's TVs. It is a powerful thing. And I've talked about this a lot, just going for walks in the wintertime around the neighborhood at 6 and coming up, and, you know, everyone's got the TVs on. You can see it buzzing away.
The glow.
And they're watching the 6 o'clock news. It's just such a powerful tool. And sometimes it gets us down, because we feel like we just do so much work and we put so much blood, sweat, and tears in here. And we get people sort of understanding, and then they just turn on that 6 o'clock news, and it's got so much weight behind it. But it's all fake. It's not real. And if we could get them to understand that, that you're just, you know, it's as you said, Lee, it's completely laughable, you know. The thing is, these Freemasons, they make it laughable because they're mocking you. People do not understand what's going on, and they get sucked into this, and they can't see it, so they mock them. And it's like when you understand what they're doing, you watch it, you're like, this is ridiculous, this COVID and the variants and all this stuff. And as you said, the headlines got so ridiculous, and the wording they were using, you would think that anybody with half a brain would just look at that and just go, this is absolute nonsense. But they don't. And it's crazy. And I know people like this. I know people like this. And it's just, I talk to them, and they mimic the morning news and mainstream media, and I can't talk to them anymore. I'm just like, come back to me when you've got something honest to say. And I don't care if you disagree with me. I want to hear you. I don't want to hear you mimicking, parroting this TV in your house. Come back to me when you've got some honest opinions, and let's have a conversation, you know. But they just mimic this crap.
And it's unbelievable. Stupid headlines. Yeah. And
you look at it, and the way that they, it's, but I, what do you, I don't know, Lee, it's boggled my mind for years now. The sets, the tones in their voices, their head movements, their study, what they study, you know, and how they put this mainstream media news out every night, and the way that they do it. I guess because they mix in entertainment and sports and everything, and they just do it in such a way, it's addictive to people.
They know they've got short attention spans too, Adam. You know, they've got to get them real quick. And they've got it, you know, all it's to do with that, you know, the cadence, right down to the cadence of the voice of those presenters, you know, the way they speak to them. They speak to them in that parent, authoritative teacher kind of tone, you know, they're talking to
a nice tone.
Yeah, the audience that are the little kids, and you need to listen to me. You know, that kind of really kind of captures them. And then, like you said, the colors, the lights, the sounds, the headlines, the even the little things they use to cut between two news segments and scenes, the switching between the two things. And it's all an art form. It's an absolute science.
It's an art form.
Yeah. You know, they've got it down to a T. They know how to do it, and they use it so well against us. But there was one thing I wanted to just throw to Andy, and before I do, have a bit of a think about it, because I'll come back to you as well. And you might already know some, but if you think of others too, have a think about it while I cross to Andy of some of the methods you can maybe identify that I haven't spoken about, perhaps, in terms of escaping this fear control. So I'll cross, because I mentioned some as well, of laughing in the face of fear and that sort of thing. I want to cross to Andy now, because Andy will probably just remind us a bit about, because he was, I think it was a book or someone he read with regards to not owning it and just to let it go. You know, there's a technique to do with that. So Andy, just take us a little bit about, talk to us a little bit about that, and how that can help us and help other people perhaps, and we can perhaps teach other people to let go of this fear.
It's this, I think we did it in a show, it would have been about a year ago. And it's this low vibration, and people attach themselves to, they own it. They own the COVID like belief system, because it kind of keeps them a bit sane, you know. This is my belief. They own it, they hang on to it, and they'll defend it, right? And they defend it aggressively. If you go up against them and go up against their owned belief that becomes then part of them, then you're up for a bit of a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it rolls, you know, and that's part of the weapon that's being used against us.
So how do they avoid that? We mentioned the letting go. Because they own it. So the opposite, obviously, is to not own it.
Well, that's right. They have to understand that to detach from it, to actually come under the understanding that they don't own it. It's not a possession. It's not a thing. A belief. It's something that can change and evolve with fresh information that comes in, you know. So not to hang on information as being, you know, something that you own. Like, even with you and me, this is what we've discussed before. If somebody sat down with me or say Adam and you came in and said, look, we've got fresh information and we'll go through it tonight, like for a few hours, and you know, this, we've been wrong the whole time. And like, COVID is like, it's all really real. Everything's like really real. And I can prove this, you know, we can look at it and we can digest it. We can pull it apart and look at it and come up with a conclusion. Just means that I drop everything that I've been attached to. Yeah, look, I can roll with it. I can do it. It all depends on how open your mind is. But the minds are so closed and so attached, and they're so owned with this product that's been delivered to them, packaged and unpacked in their mind, and now they own this asset. And look, it's just, to me, it's just such a weapon. It's such a modern, nasty weapon that's been inflicted on people's minds. But
well, how funny you should say that, Andy, because remember, like, one of the second last sentences in that article I read before was, you know, we talked about the real conspiracy is happening on the TVs with driving the fear and hysteria. And it says, they own you. You bought it hook, line, and sinker. You know what I mean? Like, she's talking, the person who wrote this is talking to those people out there in the public. You know, don't own the fear. They own you. You just bought into it big time. You know what I mean? They own you. They need to let go of that. Yeah, that's it. They need to stop realizing they don't really have anything invested in this, do they? Really?
Well, they think that they do. They've invested so much time and and like aggression and like so much time watching the TV. It's an investment, right? They have invested into it, you know, and they freaking own it now. Like, it's just it takes a while to uninvest from something. I hope I'm making sense. But like,
I do. It makes perfect sense. Yeah.
It takes a strong will. And Adam, I just want to touch, that's a brilliant comment that you made. Like, just, you've got to, people have to look at themselves. It's a perfect opportunity for humans to actually like look at themselves and strip us down to like, you know, a bare soul and unplug and like start becoming better people. You know, but like, I can tell you right now, 99% of people out there, they don't want to look at themselves, man.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to keep on sucking back on a beer, turn back on the TV, keep in the illusion and like keep on going, because it's so much easier than having a good hard look at yourself.
Yeah, because they don't want to face the fear, mate. Because the fear, like Adam said, is in them, you know. The fear is inside us and they don't want to face it.
Yeah, that's right. It's so much easier just to turn on the black mirror and, like, you know, just, you know, like, I don't know, whatever you distraction. Well,
let the fear wash over them, really.
Keep yourself going.
Mm.
Yeah.
Correct.
Adam,
just
I'll just
be like everyone else. It's just so, it is easier.
Yeah, it is. You're right, Andy, and good points, man. Adam, I wanted to, you know, I'll just throw it back to you now. So, I mean, you may have known some already. Maybe we've already talked about it, but I mean, is there anything else perhaps maybe you can come up with, even off the top of your head, of perhaps you know, different methods of trying to escape that fear? Like you mentioned, face it in the mirror, you know, face your fears, look within yourself. That's definitely a big part of it, of course. Anything else perhaps maybe you can think of that come off the top of your head that you can, in terms of trying to face that fear or to overcome fear, to escape fear?
Well, we are the fear, General. We are the fear. It all starts and it all ends with us. The system around us, whatever you want to call it, the matrix, whatever you think it is, whatever the hell this thing is, it's you look at it, the TV and the movies and everything that they do and the fear and everything we're talking about tonight, it's all done through the power of suggestion. You know, it's like they suggest it, they put it out there, but we run with it. You know, so it implies to me that the system around us knows how we work internally, in a very deep way. And so it's in a cunning and very manipulative way, it's using that against us, but it's using that against us. So, it, you know, what I mean there is we're our own worst enemy. you know, and it's like it's we will never, ever, ever, ever win. We will never go forward as a society. We will never grow spiritually. We will never do anything that matters until we take a look at ourselves and we stop thinking in the way that we are, you know, and we stop this. Look at TV. When you turn on the TV, you are channeling. You are watching programs. You are being mind controlled. This is the thing. And this is the whole thing with the COVID jabs, if I could go back to there. They never touched me. They never touched you. They never touched Andy.
Mm-hmm.
We said no. And people say they're going to come. They're going to bust in your house. They're going to hold you down the living room floor and they're going to jab a needle in your arm. Well, they haven't done that yet. When they do that, it's the end of the world. Society's finished. And mm-hmm. then we have to survive. I understand that. But to this point, they haven't done it. What they've done is they've used fear and propaganda to get people to do it to themselves. And I always say this. They used those fucking TVs to manipulate people in just a certain way that they walked out of their houses like a bloody zombie and they went down to those places and they got a needle in their arm because they were scared of something that isn't there. And they're not using their logic. They're not stopping and thinking and looking at themselves and saying, well, what is all this about? What's going on here? What virus? Where? I don't have any. What is this? They're just going off the TV and what the media say. Mm. People are not in control of their own minds or lives anymore. That's the problem. They're not in the driver's seat. And we have to get back into that driver's seat because the problem starts and ends with us. They are manipulating us and they're using fear and propaganda and all these tools to do it. And it's ugly and it's despicable, but it's limited. That's what I said. It's limited compared to what we really are. They are trying to blind us from the truth of who we really are. Because once we find out that and we realize our personal and deep potential, this game's over. And we do it in big enough numbers, it's finished. We don't need any wars. We don't need anything. And as Andy said, this they are feeding on us because it's an energy thing. That's how I see it as well, you know. It's a vibrational, a frequency, energy thing, you know. And fear creates this, obviously, this environment that it creates perfect food for something. General, I don't know, and we have a lot of discussions about this, what it actually is, and people have a lot of ideas, but what I do know, and if we could just cut to the chase, we're being fed on, and we're being used, but not only that, we're being used in such a diabolical and manipulative and deep way that we're being turned on each other, we're destroying ourselves, we're committing suicide in this way. You know, and we don't even realize that we're doing it, and that's the problem. So it's all self-awareness. That's the key. And I think you can't expect people to just do it overnight. It's incremental. We need to start on this, and we need to do things. We need to do things to better the environment around us. And we always talk about that, you know, do something that you love a couple of times a week, you know, those kinds of things. If this is all getting you down, go and do something that you enjoy, spend time with the family. And it's amazing, Lee, because if you go out, and I think we said this with you many times, and we've talked about this a lot, if you go camping for a couple of weeks or you just go out and you leave your phones at home and you just go out every night and you're under the stars, you have a fire and stuff, you wouldn't even it just disappears. Because you don't have the devices and you don't have the bloody newspapers and you don't have the city around you, you don't have the bloody TVs and you don't have the distractions. And most importantly, you don't have this hive mind around you that believes so deeply in this system that it's affecting you and your loved ones. Because what we believe is very powerful. You know, the mind is a really powerful thing, and that's why they get us as a hive mind. And that's what the TVs are for. The TVs attack everybody individually in their houses at night. But when they go out to work and they go out and live their lives, they come together as a hive mind because they've all watched the same material. So they connect in that way, you know, and it's unbelievable. Yeah. But if you strip yourself away from that and you go out in the woods for a couple of weeks, you're like, holy cow, you know, like, what is all this about? And that's why this whole system, it's always been about stripping man from nature and scaring us. making us, what is these things like COVID and AIDS and all this stuff? It makes us scared of nature. It makes you think that if you go out in the woods, nature's going to attack you and give you a virus. It's bullshit. But, you know, it's an unbelievable thing. And I think people need to start thinking for themselves and start working very incrementally to do that. But as Andy said, Lee, very, very well said before, I think what I was getting from Andy's comment is a lot of people are too scared to. I think it scares them to look within, to face that reflection in the mirror and start working on yourself. So they're going to lash out at you.
Yeah,
they're going to get angry at you because of what you're saying, you know, and they're going to see you as the enemy.
That's a low vibrational response is to then lash out in anger. You know,
and they're going to go back to the response. They're going to go back to the media because it's a comfort thing. But this is just like how drugs work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, without even realizing, mate, you've come up with a couple of good options there. One in particular was, you know, I mentioned, you know, what's a method of escaping fear, and I think in a literal sense, escape the world for a minute. Go back to nature. Go camping. Get away from everything and escape it. To literally get away from it. You know, that's actually probably one of the really good things that a lot of people need to do. You know, get away. Get away from these things. Leave your phones at home. Stop. You know, don't check the internet.
Mm.
You know, just talk to each other. Talk about what you see around you. Talk about the stars. You know, think about all that sort of stuff. You know, try and connect with people on a different level than this fear vibrations. Good point.
Do you see General and Andy as well? Do you see when you go out at the day, whether you're shopping or you're around the parks or you take the kids out, do you see these people on the phones? Like they just, I was talking about this the other night. It was just, I was at the park with a little one and a lady was on a phone and the little girl wanted the mum to push her on the swing and she was on the phone and she wouldn't do it. She ended up twisting over backwards and hitting her head. And I was like, this lady, it's like your kid could be drowning and you're on this phone. And that's what I was making a joke that people.
But don't worry, Adam, I'm sure she's got 5G. It's okay.
I had a little bit of a peek and she was on Facebook, but I was making a joke the other night that people are going to walk into sausage grinders, you know, on the phones, you know, but do you notice that people are, you know, that old joke that you could walk into traffic when you're on the phone? I thought that we would be kind of above that, but I'm still seeing it everywhere. It's amazing. Yeah, very much so.
I noticed it. Andy, you probably do too, I'm guessing, when you're out and about.
I know we use our phones for texting and, you know, we use them for work and things like that, but are you noticing that saturated?
In social settings, they're not even talking to each other half the time. They're on their phones, you know. Oh, look at this, and oh, I'm posting about this. I just shared it with you. Have a look. No, what are you doing? You're right there in front of me. Don't do that, you know. Like, it's just silly. Crazy. It's so dumb. There was one thing I was going to – oh, that's the other thing I wanted to suggest as a method of escaping this fear thing is, I think we need to, and you kind of actually sort of touched on a little bit there too, Adam, and this might perhaps lead me into getting another one of my guests on, JLB, John LeBon, if you're listening. I think we need to teach people how to be skeptical. I think people have lost that ability, boys. They seem to believe too much on everything they see, and I don't just mean us and in on our side of the fence. I mean the public at large as well. Yeah, the NPCs out there, this public. I think they need a hard and fast lesson on how to be skeptical. You know, how to question what they're seeing, because they're not doing that. They're eating it up too much. You know, they need to learn to take a step back and look at it from that sort of third party perspective. And, you know, see the problem or whatever there is there as it is and think about it more and be skeptical. They need to learn to be skeptical and question the source material. Where are they getting this information from? Well, let's go to that source. Who is this source? Who owns it? Where's the money behind? What's the actual source? Did they do a study? Who wrote the study? Who's responsible? You know, like, keep questioning the source for these things. People need to be more skeptical about stuff. So John JLB, if you're listening to this, he's one of my supporters as well. I want to get you on to actually focus on a whole show about, you know, learning to be skeptical and how to teach people how to be skeptical. So if you're listening, brother, have a think about that. That's a good thing. We need to do that. Here's something I noticed as well, a little bit not totally in line with the fear thing. Maybe it is, I'm not too sure, but we'll get into it. But gentlemen, this is something I've been noticing probably more so over the last maybe 6 months, I reckon. Obviously, myself and Danielle are almost the only ones of our immediate groups of friends that aren't vaccinated. Most of them are, to be honest. Some of them know what we're on about. They know how we feel about these things, yet they've gone and done it for whatever reason. I'm not going to here question their reasons, but they've gone and done it and they've had the vaccine, whatever, whatever. Some of our friends even, and people that we know, and like, say, for example, I'm just down at footy, you know, with my son at training or coaching, and they'll be like, oh, where's old mate? Where's, you know, one of the boys? Where, you know, one of their teammates? And, oh, no, he's got COVID. He's at home. He's got COVID. I'm thinking, how did you know that? Like, you know, like, oh, maybe you go to school with him. Maybe you heard through the grapevine. Eh, I'm not too sure. And then I'll be like, oh, ask the coach, oh, where's the manager tonight? Oh, yeah, she's got COVID. Blah, blah, blah. Or you hear from one of your friends on their groups and their chat groups or something. They'll put up and, you know, they'll go, oh, we can't come to whatever event. You know, we've got COVID. And I'm like, what is it with people? They're bragging about it. Is it just me? Have you noticed this? People brag about, like, they own it. Again, this is something they tend to own. Oh, I've had COVID. They're so happy to talk about it. Oh, I've had COVID. Oh, I've got COVID. Oh, my son had COVID. We're in isolation. We had COVID. We all had COVID. They love telling you. Two years ago, would they have been walking around telling you they had the flu? Oh, no, were you sick? No. You wouldn't have fucking heard a thing. No one tells you they had the flu. Or maybe if they had, you know, or the man flu or whatever. But, you know, you never heard about that. Rarely would you hear someone going, oh, no, they've got the flu. Oh, yeah. Oh, they're battling the flu. Oh, they're recovering from the flu. Never heard that. No, it's all COVID. And these are all people who are fucking jabbed as well. And they're all going, oh, yeah, we had COVID. Yeah, it just doesn't fucking make sense. Why do you have to brag about it? Why do you own this? Why are you happy you had it? Why are you addicted to the fact that you think you've got this fucking fake disease? It's so stupid. I mean, before I throw to you, Adam, Andy, have you noticed this too? Have you noticed people, friends, family, people you know all around you, work with or whatever, bragging about having fucking COVID? Have you heard this?
Oh, I mean, all over the place. I'm just
so it's not just me.
It's definitely not just.
But they talking about it, don't they? Like,
you know what? Because they're part of the herd now. You know, like they're part of the group. They just have
it's a clique. They're in this clique, the COVID clique.
Oh, they're in this. They don't want to be separated from the people. They want to be part of the whole gear. You know, like let's get on it. Let's get on the COVID thing. Let's get a bit of COVID into us. Let's have COVID. Let's be COVID. Let's get into it. Like, and when you've actually got it, well, they believe they have. Then they want to broadcast it because then you can be friends with them again.
We'll join their Telegram group, the COVID recovery group, you know.
Something like that, yeah. It's a bit of a sympathy trip too, and like, you know, they just, then they've got something to share and about and talk about. And
you know what Danielle and I do now?
With everyone. It's just what it is, man. I just, like,
whenever someone we know or we're chatting to says it, that, oh, they've had COVID, we give them a little chuckle and we roll the eyes. Oh, yeah. Whatever, you know, right in their face.
It's pretty normal at the start of the season like this, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. Like, that's funny to me. You're an idiot. That's what I'm laughing. I'm not laughing at anything else. I think that person is a fucking moron. Sorry, but they're an idiot if they think they've had COVID and they're bragging about it. Adam, talk to me, mate. Have you seen this? Are you experiencing this same phenomenon that I'm seeing? Bragging rights, mate. They've got bragging rights.
Well, it's a cult.
Yes.
It's a cult.
It is. They're the new Scientologists, mate. COVIDologists.
I had my neighbour whose some of his stuff fell on my place and I took it over. He didn't want me. He asked me if I was jabbed. And I said, that's none of your business, you know. And he's like, well, it is my business because you're not allowed on my property if you're not and all of this, you know. And then we're talking. I said, no, I'm not having that. But, you know, it was like, why don't you want it? But the reason they're doing this is because they don't have any confidence in what they've done. And deep down, they know that what they've done is wrong. And they must. And the reason they're doing this is they're looking for comfort in other people. So they want to be around other people who have had it. So if you had it, we've all had it, you know. They don't want to be around you. You go, why? Oh, because, you know, I know someone who died or got a reaction. They don't want to hear that. that doesn't fit into their day. So it's good to be around everybody who's doing the same thing. It's the herd mentality, you know? Mm. So it's believe whatever you want to believe. It's like the Matrix, man. Take this pill. I'll show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Take that pill and wake up in your own bed tomorrow morning and believe whatever the hell you want to. That's what they're doing, and that's how they live their lives. And basically that's because they're cowards and they're gutless and they're spineless and they are unable to think for themselves. The media thinks for them. That's it. And that's what I was talking about on the last show. They like that now because they're lazy. And living under this kind of system where the government has absolute and the media have absolute control over their minds, it's perfectly good. Hey, that's right, good. You know, no worries. I get my jabs. I do what I'm told. Everything's okay. I have a good job. I get paid. I have a nice house. We watch TV. You're a conspiracy theorist. And things are pretty nice for me. You know, again, from The Matrix, where the guy eats the steak. And it's like ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
this is why The Matrix movie is a powerful film. It really is. Whether you like movies or not, it has some really interesting parts of it. Mm. And this is the thing, yeah. And that's why you were alluding to when we started, Lee, when I was saying that it's like people want it. It's like a sick need that they have to want to be controlled. I think that's a comfort thing in some way, you know. It all comes down to fear that they're just too scared to look within.
Do you think that on some level, and I think you're on the right track there, that it's a comfort thing for them because it's like validation that everything that's happened to them, the lockdowns, the every measure that was put in place, that everything that happened to them, it wasn't for nothing, you know what I mean? Because to them it's now real. Oh, COVID is now real for me because I've had it, so everything's okay. That's now, right. with the way I was treated. You know what I mean? That's what I'm kind of getting from it.
Yes, it's like the tick, you know, on the ads when they you've had your green tick, bling. Yep. It's like a poker machine. Mm. It's a tick. It's an internal tick for them. I've done the right thing, you know. And
I think they feel like they can blame it for everything. Like, you know, any little thing in future. Instead of having to then look for a reason that maybe down the track something's happened to them or you know in their lives, they can go back and go, well, it's probably because I had COVID. You know, I now got this particular disease, or I feel this way about this thing, and it all comes back to COVID. You know, well, that then becomes this scapegoat for their lives as well.
It's every excuse in the book.
Yeah,
everything but looking at you, the real enemy, because you're your own worst enemy, and that's a fact. And if you're doing it to your bloody kids, then what do you say? But that's the thing. Yeah, they don't want to see it, and they don't want to admit and look at the simple blinding truth that the government and police forces and the system around them are not your friends, and they're not here to protect you and save you and be your buddy. You know what I mean? That's the thing. And that's what you said before, Lee. This survival instinct, where's it gone? The gut instinct, that internal mechanisms, you know, where's it gone? This need to survive, to understand dangers, where's it gone? People are living in limbo.
Yeah, well, out of those three reactions, Adam, the flight, you know, people aren't really running away so much.
Yes, that's right.
They're not fighting back. That's the flight or fight. They're standing there frightened. It's the fright feeling kicks in. They just stand there frightened in fear, and they just soak everything in. It opens them up to that fear vibration. You know, you're right. They lost the instinct for the fight part of that, how to react to things, you know.
Fight
back against this stupid messaging. Fight back against these headlines that you're seeing. Laugh at them, you know. Like, there's other ways to go about it because they're so powerful and we see them all the time. It's constant. You know, dozens and dozens of them a day. I could literally go through like you do, reading out these ridiculous headlines that we're constantly being bombarded with and tearing shreds off them and going through them all. I actually enjoy you doing that, to be honest. It's part of my, I love it. I laugh along with you.
it's part of looking at what they're showing us and breaking it down, you know, and looking through it and getting people thinking like that. It's like, well, that's what it is, you know, but most importantly, it's part of you just having your say and you know, talking about what you're seeing, but not enough people are doing that. But, yeah. You know, if I have a look at what happened the other day in Brisbane, I was looking at some amazing movements up there, and we have a huge planetary movement of people who are starting to see things. And that's why the system is going to become more desperate to maintain control and order. But they don't have any new ideas. That's what I said. And they run out of ideas and people start to see it even more. So mm-hmm. we're in incredibly important times. You know, we must not forget that. You and I and Andy and all of our listeners, we're in really important times and we are here for this. It's really incredible times. Well, it absolutely is.
Part of what I've noticed as well with regards to you know, people owning COVID and being in the COVID club, you know, is because if they get told that they've had COVID, then the reason for their illness, they can then say it was COVID. It wasn't because I got the jab. You know what I mean? Like they don't want to blame the jab for things, and they don't want people like us pointing out, well, you probably got sick because your body is, for lack of a better word, your immune system's now probably fucked because you can't fight shit off properly that you normally would any other day of the week. And you've just had a stupid fake test that has told you you've had COVID. You know what I mean? So they don't want to blame the shot for anything, Adam, you know, because that was, again, that was another risk that they've taken. You know, oh, well, maybe they've heard these things we've told them, but they've gone and had that shot anyway. And now that they've been told they've had COVID, they feel better about it that they got the shot. You know what I mean? Even though it's inverted, they shouldn't have gotten sick with COVID if they've had the shot, if it's supposed to work, you know. But now we see headlines like this, Adam, out of Yahoo News, right? This is today. It says, and of course we can tear shreds of this, but this is just an example. It reads, "It spares no one. New study reveals frightening COVID side effect." I mean, look at the headline right there. If they're trying to put the fear in people right there with the headline. "Even after recovering from COVID, the virus's brutal side effects could linger on and even develop up to a year after first falling ill, new research suggests." Further on, it then says, "The findings from Johns Hopkins University in the US revealed that anyone who's had the virus, however mild, even those who were, and get this, asymptomatic, is at a higher risk for heart issues in the future. And it seems no one is immune." Oh, my God. So there you go. The study found that heart issues, including clots, inflammation, and arrhythmias, could develop a year after recovering from COVID, a risk that persists even in relatively healthy people. So, of course, we all know that's about. We don't need to go into it too deeply. But, of course, these are the effects from the vaccination that we, of course, all know about. That's what they're telling you, that in a year's time, after they've told you, oh, you've had COVID, but you've also had the fucking jab, and when you get sick in a year's time, oh, it's not because of the jab, it's because of you might have had COVID that time. You know, that's what I mean. Like,
yeah, long COVID.
Long COVID.
That's
is
what
now
they're
vaccine.
Calling
yeah,
it now, long
That's COVID. Right. They've renamed vaccine injury to long COVID.
They've got TV ads in Sydney General for shingles and all sorts of things now. You're like, holy hell, what's going on here? You know, so they're conjuring up every spell in the book, you know, so-called disease in the book to blame it on that because people have long COVID.
Hepatitis
you know?
Is coming back.
Everything's coming back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's not the jab. Yeah, but exactly. As we always said, the vaccines trigger the real pandemics, and the real pandemic has nothing to do with the virus. It's because you got jabbed. And,
absolutely.
You know, people are just not going to have any ability to have a healthy immune system anymore.
Yeah.
As we go on, which we are seeing, I'm seeing it with people around me. I am seeing that, you know.
And here's another headline, Adam, for you. Ready? This one's out of The Globe, which is in Canada. "Unvaccinated disproportionately risk the safety of those who are vaccinated against COVID-19, study shows." It's always a new study, isn't it, boys? It's always a study that shows this. So apparently, you know, I'm just pointing out the wording and the messaging that they use. You know what I mean? They use particular words in these headlines, in the articles, and they're shifting the blame constantly. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to kind of point those out to some folks there
The important thing, General, to point out here is they're recycling the same trash. is just utter nonsense. And as it goes on, it just gets worse and worse and more laughable because they've run out of ideas. That's the thing. And that's what I said before with fear. They've got nowhere else to go but just fear itself. And it's like as people start to clue on to it and they start working this out, what do? And you can just it's like a machine breaking down. They're just saying all this nonsense. And you're thinking to yourself, how can people buy this? But, you know, unfortunately some do. And you know what? Hey, that's their trip in this life, and maybe they're just not ready yet. But we are, and our listeners are, and a lot of people are. And this is an important thing I want to say, General, because you know what? A lot of great researchers that I speak to and you speak to as well, they're so super intelligent. And I know you've spoken to a lot of great people, David Icke and many others. But, you know, we have to not forget people who are coming on board as well. Mm. We may have a lot of people out there and, hey, man, I get a lot of people who don't agree with me on this, but they may have had a jab or two, but they've woken up and they're not happy and they've started to see and they're coming to see the information that's getting out there and we're putting out there. And you know what? I want to welcome them on board. And I want to say, come in and, you know, it doesn't matter. Just come in and look at this information. And I think that's important too, because not everybody's at our level and a lot of people are beyond our level. And I think that some people who are just joining, it's a real shock for them and it's a hard pill to swallow. It's a real hammer blow when you realize and you feel really alone, you know, when you realize what's going on. But once they start to join in and we build these communities, you know, it's a really good thing, you know. And I'm seeing a lot of this. I get a lot of emails and a lot of people who are just saying, I found your website, I read this article, I listened to this podcast. It's really cool, you know. And I just wanted to say that it's important for these folks, because there's no judgment here. Yes, you were tricked, you were conned. And they use fear to do it. But now you can start to see it, so get on board. And let's do this together.
Yeah, good words, man. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And I appreciate the kind words too, mate. I wanted to just, before we wrap it up for this particular episode, I did mention before, because I'll post it in the show notes as well, there was an article I put up on the March 26th, 2020. But even 2 weeks prior to that, on March 10th, I also did a little article as well. And the title was called The Scariest Thing About Coronavirus is the Reaction to Coronavirus. And the image I used is a picture underneath, looks like a walkway underneath a road or something, and someone's written on it, "Fear is a liar." And it's so true. And I'll just read this out for you guys as well and for the listeners, because it kind of, again, it rings true to what we were talking about, and it kind of wraps it up a little bit, I think. The only thing we know with absolute certainty about this coronavirus debacle is that we don't know enough. And again, this was just after it all kind of began that I started writing this 2 years ago. Toilet paper madness, grocery store shelves raided, citizens bashing each other for supplies, conspiracy theories floating about the internet, social media groups touting all sorts of wild ideas and blaming 5G or bio-warfare labs breaching containment, our governments eroding our rights and tightening their control grid on us. Ah, enough. Those that were of age, please think back to events like 9/11. Remember the fear-mongering. Remember the propaganda. Remember that no one knew what was going on until years later. And even now, we still don't have all the information about everything that happened that day. We only know that we were lied to and manipulated, and that our governments eroded our rights and stripped away precious freedoms. Now, liken that to this coronavirus debacle. We are in the same situation. We still don't know enough. Is it a hoax? Well, we know a bit more now, don't we, boys? Is it a drill? Is it real? We still don't know who to trust. Certainly not the mainstream media. Certainly not the government, because we can't trust them for information. Does that mean by default we have to trust the so-called alternative and independent media? No, not necessarily. Too many leaps are being made by our side of the fence because it appears they want to be the next big name to say, "We were right and I told you so," in some self-aggrandizing move to feel vindicated. The thing is, some of the theories do have compelling arguments, actual facts and tidbits of good information, just not all of it, and not all laid out in a way that demonstrates a thorough argument or alternative narrative. Not enough to say that it's fully sourced, vetted, and concrete. That's one issue. Be wary of it when trying to work out what's actually going on. Don't fall for the scary doomsday predictions. We've all seen it before. The reaction to this problem is the real issue here, not the problem itself. If you fall victim to believing the problem, then you're sure to follow the same fate as this for the solution that will be offered up. Take our mainstream media, for example, of a scary reaction. What do we see and hear? Fear. It's what they do best. We don't have any answers. Just be afraid. Every night since the beginning of this debacle, the news has covered some aspect of it, whether it's showing us that for some bizarre reason we must rush out and panic buy toilet paper, or constantly updating us on national and international contagion numbers that we're supposed to believe without any evidence, to 60 Minutes reports designed to pump fear into you. Do yourself a favor and stop watching the TV and stop reading newspapers. It's nothing but fear porn. You will not get any credible information from them. Our third example of a scary reaction to this coronavirus debacle is the actions of our governments. And I quote from Rahm Emanuel, the 55th mayor of Chicago. You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that is an opportunity to do things that you could not do before. That mindset is well ingrained in our authoritarian governments worldwide. When incidents like fake terrorism, fake disease pandemics, fake war on drugs, etc., rear their ugly heads, our leaders feverishly rub their hands together, looking to roll out more draconian laws to further remove our rights and curtail our freedoms in the name of security. In the case of the current coronavirus debacle, it's biosecurity laws that the Australian government is looking to test out and flex their authority. The Australian state of Victoria has now tabled an amendment bill to make it mandatory for all health workers to be fully vaccinated. These laws are planned well ahead of time and almost require events like the coronavirus situation in order to rush them through because the governments know it won't get knocked back. But it doesn't end there. The demonization of cash and a headstrong push for digital currencies is also on the cards by governments and the banking cartels while coronavirus hysteria continues. How was I right there, guys? Look where we are now. Time and time again, we see these events either purposefully rolled out or incredibly hyped up in order to suit specific agendas. The mainstream media will always jump on board and be complicit in the deceit and fear, as that's their bread and butter. Do we really expect them to make money selling us good stories? No, the fluff pieces are always small and insignificant. Fear sells. Governments and corporations always play their parts in the hysteria. They seek to be the saviors of humanity in a crisis to show how much they think we need them. Their part is to cover up the truths and instigate a regiment of lies with a good dose of authoritarianism thrown in for good measure. We can't have the public asking real questions and wanting honest answers now, can we? No, just keep them afraid. So there you go, boys. That was March 10th, 2020. I wrote that one. And again, look how much it rings true to what we've seen so far. And fear playing such a major part. Yeah, there you go.
Excellent piece, General. Excellent piece.
I'll put that in the show notes again, mate. Feel free to rehash that on your site too if you want to put an editorial.
Think me through. I'll repost that. Why can't we open the mainstream newspapers and read real stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just make sure you preface it with what that was written, obviously, 2 years ago. So
that's right. Yeah, you just nailed it. Yeah. Really well done, mate.
Interesting, isn't it, though? Hey, how we just keep coming back to fear. It's always about fear.
It's always about fear. Yeah. It's been right throughout history. That's it, because that's what this system feeds on. It's very simple. And so the answer is,
well, like we said, laugh in the face of fear.
Well, the answer is love, because that creates a higher vibrational frequency that these creatures, whatever the hell they are, cannot exist in. That's the way that it is, and that's why that's why we're seeing what we're seeing, man. That's unbelievable. Yeah. And they will do anything to keep this fear going, anything they can, wars, whatever it is. And hey, it could get terrible. God knows what they're going to be up to, but as long as we're aware. That's the key, awareness. Absolutely, that's the most important thing, man. Even if you go out of this life, if you're aware, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, you'll aware, have folks. That in you. Yeah, you'll have that knowledge in you. That's right, and you won't be afraid.
You will have ignited that fire, man, and that spark, and that's where you need to be.
Awesome. Well, Adam, we might leave that show there on that note, mate. I think that's poignant words to leave it on, mate. That kind of wraps up everything I wanted to talk about, man. So, Andy, did you have anything else for Adam before we said goodbye to him for this evening, mate?
Adam's just about stolen all my thunder again, mate. But look,
this is what happens when you talk to fellow podcasters.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. That's awesome. You know, like it's absolutely right. The only way out of this is a love vibration, a higher vibe, and you know, the opposite to what these entities want to, you know, to put us in that low state. So, you absolutely nailed it, man. Yeah, thank you.
I just added that to my notes, Andy, because I actually didn't even have that written down as one of the methods of escaping fear is love. So I've just put it in capital letters, love.
Well, you can see as well, guys, you know, in all the movies, the Hollywood movies, how they manipulate that, you know. They have these movies where it's so full of venomous hatred and sex and pornography and stuff, but it's supposed to be about love. So you can see how they kind of distract people away as well from that. You know, they kind of get you laughing, but then they shock you. It's just incredible to see. But I think that's within all of us. I think we need to start looking within. Yeah. And I think that's what we started off with tonight, General, you know. It's all with us, you know. And I think people know the truth. They know the answers. It's all in us. It's all there. It's all there. That's the most important thing, you know, because it's amazing, isn't it, General? Just quickly looking at these couple of past years, you know what I mean? I know you've been like that, and I was looking at a lot of your earlier posts. We've always done the same thing that we've always done. You never played into it. Andy didn't. I never wore a mask. I just went out and I did everything.
Same.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And now all these people who got those jabs, they're like, hang on, what did I get them for?
Mm.
Now we're all equal again, and it's crazy times, you know? And I have friends like that and brothers, as you said, General, brothers and family. Yeah, they rushed. They panicked. They panicked and they went and got the jabs, and now they're like, well, what did I get it for? What's going on here? And you played into the fear.
Yeah. That's it, man. Please feel free to share this with your member-only content, mate. I'd love for you to put that up for your members as well to enjoy. And once again, just tell the folks where they can find you.
Oh, yes, just crazfiles.com. Head over to there, and there's lots going up.
And you do have a Telegram. Please tell everyone your Telegram as well, mate.
Yeah, we're on Telegram. It's just a Kraz Files chat, but that's linked up on the website as well.
There you go.
So we've been destroyed on YouTube and Facebook and all that, but that's okay. And so we're on Truthbook and all those, but the Telegram chat like yours, General, is going well, you know. And some people have worries, but I don't have any concerns. I mean, I'm not seeing anything, so I've got nothing to hide. Whatever goes up there, I see is the truth, so I'm not hiding anything. So I don't care what the government – if the government want to peep in and look at what I'm doing, I don't give a stuff because, you know, I'm not ashamed of what I'm doing. So I put it all out there, and there's some really good channels going up, and there's good stuff happening. And but I've tried to link everything on the website to make it easier, so folks can find us over there, like Brighton and BitChute and everything. I've put all the links up, and anyway, so lots going up.
Awesome stuff, man.
Yeah.
Well, for your listeners who are listening to this, when you do put it up for them, for your members, if anyone wants to look me up on Telegram as well, please do. Feel free to add me, and then I can then send you a link to my group as well if you wanted to cross share or join my group as well. Everyone's more than welcome to. Mine's hidden though. I kept mine hidden because only because I hate the bots and I hate the fucking spammers getting in there. So that's my way of controlling that. I don't have the time to moderate everything too much that goes on, so I prefer to just not let them in the first place. you've got a lot of good active members, so they're more than welcome to do that for you, I guess. But yeah, so anyone, just look for me, general_Maddox. Just find me at general_Maddox, and then I can send you a link to the Intellectual Connoisseur Club, which is what I call the General Knowledge and RNA group. So,
and you've moved off Facebook and everywhere, General. That's your pretty much your.
To be honest, I don't spend that much time on. I still go on to look at stuff, but I don't really. I'm kind of a bit over sharing stuff to the RNA page on Facebook and all that sort of thing. It doesn't really reach. It probably reaches the same amount of people anyway. About 70 odd people, you know what I mean? Because they control it so heavily.
Yeah, that's right.
Twitter I share a bit on, that sort of thing. But yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Like, yes. Facebook wouldn't allow me to have any more likes or anyone join the page or anything. It was crazy, and then they just blocked it. So
it's annoying how controlling they are. So I just go around them, but, you know, don't worry about them.
You still got your website up and going like I do, and that's great. And Ethan at Tot News doing great stuff. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
If people aren't going over there, if your listeners or if anyone isn't going over there and checking Tot News regularly, then you're not in touch with what's really going on. Ethan's machine. He's an absolute machine putting that stuff up.
He's really into the technology side of stuff as well, so I always go on there and read it out on my podcast for the members. It's just such good information. He's such a great researcher, so great job, Ethan and General and Lee. You guys are doing awesome work. It's just fantastic to be connected with you guys. I just love being here, and thanks so much for having me on, buddy.
Awesome. And to everyone else listening, the main show will be back next Monday as well. We're recording again next Monday because it's a public holiday. So I'll be doing a show with I've booked in John Hamer to go over the new book he's got coming out. Welcome to the Masquerade. I've booked him in to go over that one. So can't wait for that one. It's going to be good.
When's that, General? When's
next
that?
Monday. I'll be doing that show.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, he's finally got out his new book. I'm going to be chatting to him as well. It's you can see the pain and the hardship of getting out a book for these guys, you know.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to buy that one off him too. I'll make sure I buy a copy to help him go. He's such a good bloke.
Yeah, he'll sign it for you as well.
Yeah, awesome. That's good.
Just mention the Crass Files. No, love you, John. Great work. He's a great man. Absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely.
Good work, General.
All right, mate. I'll end the show there. Thanks again, fellas. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
All right, cool. Just stop recording there. All right, I'm going to work tomorrow, so I'm going to head and start getting myself ready for bed. And I'll talk to you soon, Andy.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Adam, thanks again, mate. Can't wait to listen to your next show as well.
Night, everyone. See you, Adam.
You guys are awesome.
Cheers, brother.
Thanks, brother. Bye.